Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, don't make a mistake and invite Kenny Caraway to your Friendsgiving, and Doug Christie won't make a mistake in starting Dylan Cardwell again.
Oh, damn.
At least I don't think he will.
Was that a reach? In your opinion?
Yes. However, I get it. You're going into a game against Milwaukee. You're facing complications right there. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's why I said, you know, Denver could be an interesting watch tonight.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. I had the score in here somewhere. It wasn't 21-5, but it was like 16-3 or something. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not Dylan's fault, but like it's part of the story. They did not respect him even remotely on the offensive end, which created a whole host of problems for Sacramento. He played 5 minutes, and then we never saw him again except when he was cheering, which he did. He stayed completely engaged in the game. You could see him several camera angles. You could see him during timeouts. He just didn't step on the floor and play basketball again.
Well, he did one more time. And it seemed like he was a little caught off guard, but no, this is what you're here to do.
Wait, did he check back in?
Yeah, the last free throw.
He did!
And he was like,
that's
huh?
right!
I think he did. Who was it?
Was it Russ?
Somebody was like, hey, get in
it
there.
On the bench.
Yeah,
because when he came in, it couldn't have been Russ that he was, because they were like moving guys around on that last free throw. I didn't even register that was him.
Yeah. It only stood out because I saw it might have been Keon.
He was there to be tall.
it might have been Keon who was on the bench too. But somebody, you know, not because he wasn't paying attention, but just trying to get the message down. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, Dylan, hey. And he was like, huh? Oh. And he runs
me?
To the
score. Me?
That's the only reason why it stood out to me that he went back in the game. But yeah, he went back in.
Did you see? That reminds me. Is Jake LaRavia at the Golden 1 Center. JJ, head in there. And he goes and he runs to the scorer's table. And he takes his, he's like, for who? And he's looking at JJ. And JJ's looking around like, who are we sending him in for? And I don't know what assistant said it, but. Like, for an uncomfortably long time, Jake LaRavia is looking at him like, who am I going in for? And then whoever finally goes in.
It also reminds me, I've discovered potentially a pattern that we can all look at and follow for every game. At least once, usually twice a game, and sorry for the radio audience, this is a little visual. Bobby Jackson will get up off the bench and he'll walk over like this to Doug and he'll say something and then he'll just walk on back. He does it at least two times a game. Just look tonight. He'll do it. He'll walk over there. And it's like far from the bench,
too. Is it a 6 o'clock start tonight?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
It's like far from the bench, too. It's like mm-hmm. almost at half. He's out of the coach's box. And Bobby just not – not in any rush, just to walk down there, hands in his pocket, and be like, look, Doug, look, this is the guy. Got it. Cool. And then he'll walk back.
That's fine.
Check it out. Now, Dylan Cardwell, you may run that back tonight because one of the reasons why it was such a bad matchup against Milwaukee is because their abundance of three-point shooters around Giannis. I don't think you'll have that same issue with Denver. So to speak, you'll have Cam Johnson out there. You have Christian Brown. Aaron Gordon, we've seen him hit 10 threes, so he can shoot the three, but it's not the same. And the way they run their offense, it's not the same.
But do you go Drew Eubanks instead, who played well on Saturday?
You might go Drew. He did play well, too.
And, like, why would Doug start the same lineup two times? Like, that has not been something he's done. Now, OKC in Chicago, he started the same five guys, but in one game, Russ was a guard, DeMar was a forward. In the other game, DeMar was the guard, and Russ was the forward.
Right.
I get trying to match up with size and all that, but is starting Eubanks, Cardwell, whoever at the five, and Sabonis at the four, like, your game?
I feel like they should just start Russell Westbrook.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
just continue to do that, whether it's the four or the two. Like, I don't care. Just start Russell Westbrook.
Like, it might not be the best matchup-wise or whatever, but you do want to stick to, I guess, whatever iteration of Kings basketball you're trying to play right now, rather than throwing some bonus in a spot where it doesn't really work and Cardwell, we just got ate up.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. It's a great point. I guess I'm with you, Dame. Start Westbrook. That's where you'll end up going anyway.
Yeah. So, we just said, oh, it was Max and Russ. They came in for, I think, Dennis and
Dylan
subbed at the same time. Max got a little bit of, he got a little bit of run.
A little bit. He wasn't there.
A little bit.
Yeah. He wasn't there. That was the call to make, too. It was like, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Let him get back into it, see what he's looking like, and he's going to need a little time.
So, ultimately, against that group, you had to go with the lineup that was getting it done for you. The thing is, though, Drew Eubanks played well for you.
He did.
And this team locked in on rebounding. Mm-hmm. I think it was 38-37. It's the first time they've out-rebounded a team all year, be it by one, be the low numbers, whatever. It was 38-37.
Did they get OKC? I think they did.
Did they?
Yeah, I think they got OKC. They didn't win.
Give me a second. Let me look.
But I think they got them.
OKC, let's see, Sacramento, 46 rebounds. I stand corrected. You are right. 46 to 44.
It was much higher, I think, going into the fourth quarter, and the Thunder turned up in the fourth quarter on the boards. But I only remember that because that was a little deflating, where it's like, oh, man, they even got the rebound battle tonight, and they still took the loss. But I think in that fourth quarter, it got a little OKC start flexing on them a little bit.
Well, they definitely did that in the fourth quarter.
In every way.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't fun. Wasn't fun to watch.
But to your point, though, they were able to do that on
Saturday.
Wasn't
too bad. 13-9 in that fourth quarter, but still.
They were able to do that on Saturday and get the necessary rebounds when they needed to, the necessary offensive rebounds when they needed to, and came away with the victory, man. So it was just a tough, tough win on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Tough, tough win mentally, physically, emotionally. And I love seeing that from them.
Let's come back because James is going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, and we haven't talked 49ers football once yet. We haven't talked football at all. So there's much more to talk about with the Kings. Anxious to get James's thoughts on Russ, Drew Eubanks yesterday, that win against Milwaukee, and the game tonight against Denver, and how that might look a little bit different than what we saw, at least at the start of the Milwaukee game. So all of that is ahead. Again, James Hamm at the top of the hour. We'll come back. 49ers, Raiders, NFL next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kings basketball tonight. Take on the Denver Nuggets in Denver, close out their first road trip of the season. Four games here, able to get their first win against the Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday. We'll see if they can close this out before they come back. Got the Warriors in town on Wednesday. I'm missing Friday. Oh, God.
Thunder.
Yeah, Thunder. I'll be at that game. That's where I'll that one.
Thunder Gross. And
NBA Cup.
Yeah. Thunder, Timberwolves on Sunday.
Yeah, NBA Cup started on Friday.
Thunder, Timberwolves, Nuggets when they come home. And Hawks, too, actually.
Man. Yeah, that Nuggets Hawks is back to back.
Let me ask you a quick question because I know we want to touch on football a little bit. Kings win tonight. Does it do anything for you? Like, does it perk your antennas up a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I mean, everything is a small sample size so far, right? So, like, our reactions a week ago were a small sample size. If they're able to get a win tonight, our reaction is still a small sample size. Like, none of that has changed. So, I'm fine with anyone's reaction to either of those. It perks my antennas up. That was a perfect way of putting it. They can get a win tonight in Denver. It'll have me feeling a certain way.
What do we do if Zach LaVine keeps going for 30?
Man.
What do they win tonight and he goes for 30?
That's the thing right there. Because I can answer your first question. If Zach LaVine keeps going for 30 and they're losing games, people are just going to bitch and complain about him. Mm. He's a score first player. It doesn't amount to winning. They're going to put the Scott Perry clip all over social media and run with that. He scores 30 and they win. Oh, there's a lot of people that need to sit down and shut the hell up, including some people who don't even cover this basketball team. Mm. So, yeah, it's that winning and losing is a drastically different caveat.
The funny thing about the Zach LaVine conversation for me is, do people, when they say that about Zach LaVine and they categorize him as somebody that with empty stats and just a score-only type player and not a winner, how many times has Zach LaVine been on a team that was supposed to win big?
Yeah, I don't have an answer. Like, we've talked about that before, and I just have never looked at those Chicago teams and thought, man, they really underachieved.
Yeah, they were being held
down. The Minnesota teams, I barely I remember Zach LaVine on the Timberwolves more than I remember the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm. It's like Zach, they were going to be a good team, but Zach LaVine with his empty stats was holding the team back.
Well, I look at it like now too, like, do we call this empty stats? And I look at Zach LaVine, like, what more, I guess, would you want him to do so far this season, where, like, I guess to justify his production?
Run that back again?
Like they're 2-5 right now. Is this empty stats too? Like, I feel like he's been playing well, but like, right, with the losses, like, okay, then how would he need to justify his production then for it not to be empty? Because, right, I kind of look at it. Other guys got to step up here.
2-4. Don't put a Denver loss on us that we don't have yet.
Oh, 2-4. Excuse me. I thought I saw 2-5.
Well, it's going to be a tough one tonight. But, yeah, man, like, Zach LaVine scoring 30 isn't why they've lost 4 games. They've got a bunch of other issues from a team that nobody thinks is going to be good anyway. So, like, I don't know what people want Zach LaVine to do with a team that's not supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, should he not score? And
well, yeah, do you want him to go 25 and 8 assists or something? Because that's not his game either. Like, right, that's not something that's going to happen.
And is he even going to get 8 assists? Because other people can't even make shots. Like, he can pass all he wants to. If the guys aren't hitting shots, you're not getting the assists.
It's just funny when you have a player who is skilled at something, like scoring, and you're like, no. Don't do that. That's dumb. But meanwhile, these same people want Mason Plumlee to come block shots for them. Come protect the rim. Like, all right, like, I can't. I don't watch enough ball because I don't get it. I can't make those two things compute. Sorry.
Zach LaVine is a really good basketball player. He's a really good basketball player. I'm not saying he's a franchise number one and all this because I don't think that of him. I don't think he has the makeup to be like your best player and be number one on a really good team, but he's a hell of a ball player, and what he can do is absolutely worth $40+ million a year. 100%. And that's where it's like, people always, we had this conversation with Eddie one time. People like really shortchange these people that can score 25, 26 points per game. Like, yeah, that's just, anybody can do that given the opportunity. Even somebody like we always talk about Cam Johnson or Cam Thomas, right? Cam Thomas is really, really good.
Yeah.
He is really good. It's not his fault Brooklyn stinks. Mm-hmm. And Cam may not be able to score 40 in a game if he had other good players with him. That doesn't mean what he's able to do isn't top tier. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a top tier scorer. He has been that on every level that he's ever played. Like, one of the better scorers on that level in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA is no different. So I disagree. It is to score. Like, yeah, somebody can get 20. I don't want to say 20 is not hard, but 20 is 20 points. To average 25, 26, 27, that means you hitting like 30 a few times. Like, that's not. I thought Marcus Thornton was really good. Marcus Thornton wasn't just getting 30s left and right.
Right.
TCG's got it right here too. Like, Zach LaVine's at 50, 40, 90 right now. It's not like he's just throwing shots up in the air. He's taking 26 shots and 12, and it's like, all right, he's got 30. Like, he's playing well.
That's one of the things that's been killing me the most is, like, why are some of you ignoring, like, those numbers?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with just Zach LaVine wasn't – people didn't want Zach LaVine here last year. They didn't want him to be part of that De'Aaron Fox deal, so I think it's just – you have your thoughts about Zach.
Go
ahead.
No, I was going to say, I also think it's the way people talk about Zach LaVine. It's the way people in the media talk about Zach LaVine. And they run with the erroneous story that you're talking about that I do not believe, just like you.
The draft pick. The draft pick story.
They just run with it. They're like, yeah, it's no value. No.
Crazy.
Once again, I'm not, even if people do believe that, much like Malik Monk. Much like Scott Perry not wanting Trae Young. I disagree with you, Scott Perry.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with you, rest of NBA executives and media people, when you talk about Zach LaVine. That's fine if that's how you see him. I disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think you're missing the mark on that. He's a good ball player.
We'll talk more Kings basketball coming up in just about 30 minutes when James Hams joins us. James Hams singular.
Ooh, it's only Hams?
One. Yeah, just
who
one.
Who does that?
but prior to that conversation with Hammer, 49ers got a win yesterday.
That.
They did. They got a win and a loss at the same time, because that's the story of this 49er season.
Mm.
Walked down the New York Giants for their sixth win, 34-24. Announced Mikal Williams tore his ACL shortly after the game. Kyle didn't officially announce it, but he said it at the podium. He said it's what they feared. You don't say that's what we fear unless you did the sideline test and the doctor gave you the not good, not good, coach. Obviously, it was confirmed earlier today. So the 49ers lose another player to MetLife Stadium and another player in this just brutal, brutal injury ravaged 2025 season.
We talked about it a little bit before the Texans game. And for somebody like myself, it's really frustrating, because the Niners are 6-3. They're playing good football. They had a really good win against an opponent that they should have handled. They handled business there. And it's almost like, man, like, how am I, what is there to really get excited about?
Mm.
Like, all these people that you feel could help you elevate and go to another level continue to get hurt or are already hurt, and they're gone for the season. So, like, yeah, you get Brock Purdy back. You still are down, like, three starters on defense. And three of them aren't coming back.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, how we... It's tough to get super amped up for what should be a really, really fun season right now for the 49ers because of the way they play, the record, where they could potentially be at in this NFC, because you look in the future and it's like, yeah, we're 6-3 right now, but will it be enough?
Mm.
will the winning and what you set up for, will it be enough moving forward? Because you're playing with a second string on both sides of the ball.
With all that said, I mean, you have this brutal division where, you know, we're watching Sam Darnold destroy the Commanders last night. I mean, I think he had four touchdown passes in the first half. Like, they're like Seattle's for real.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, like, that's a good football team. So you have this really tough division, but through Bosa and Warner and Purdy and Pearsall, you never got Ayuk back. You've still gotten to a 6-3 record. Like you know, looking at all these 6-2, the whole division's had a bye, except for you. Yours is weeks away. You know who's looking forward to Thanksgiving? The 49ers, because their bye might be sometime right after that. And it's like, I know from our perspective, it's like, God, how much more can they sustain? You go back to that game last week where it's like, yeah, that looked like the second unit playing football for the first time this year. Mikel was one of those players who was, you know, obviously picking things up with the loss of Fred Warner and so on. But the guy, you tell me if I'm wrong, please, the guy who I think is really holding all of this together is your defensive coordinator. It feels like Robert Saleh is the reason that this whole thing is, or a big reason as to why this thing is still functioning at a pretty strong level.
Yeah.
And if that team has the belief in him, like, this is dumb, and I'll take the heat for this. I'm starting to worry a little bit more about the offensive end. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It just feels like the clock is going to strike midnight on Mac Jones at some point. Not to where he becomes a bad quarterback or a pumpkin, like nothing like that, but just to where, like, how much longer can Mac win games for you? Mm-hmm. Like, you need your starting quarterback, and you need your starting quarterback back. And I think Kyle said yesterday he doesn't think Brock Purdy's going to be healthy. Not that he's not playing this year. I think he said he doesn't believe Brock Purdy's going to be 100% this year. And it's like, okay, that's tough to hear. But what percentage is he going to be when he steps on the football field next? And you go back to the Joe Burrow injury. Joe Burrow gets hurt, and it's like, oh, Joe Burrow's out 3 to 4 months. Brock Purdy gets hurt with what's listed as the same injury. It's like, oh, no, he's back in a couple weeks. But then he's back out. It's like, oh, man. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what this looks like. But I just a very, very, very long-winded way of saying you've got some really good teams in both conferences, but no one to me is jumping off of the screen. And if the 49ers win at this pace, no one's going to be more battle-tested when you get to the playoffs than they are.
Right.
That might mean nothing. But I'm not. I don't feel like I need to fold the tent up and go home when it comes to the 49ers.
No, not at all. Not at all. And one of the things that you're hoping for is, man, it's been enough as it is. But if you can stop the season ending injuries right now,
that'd be great.
And start getting people back, right? Like, Bryce Huff will be back.
I was going to say, who's coming back?
It's not a lot.
Okay.
But Bryce Huff will be back.
Yeah.
D Winters will be back. Hopefully on the trade deadline, you're going to add somebody, you know, to that defense
also
at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Now you go to the offense and you get Brock back. You get Ricky Pearsall back. You are getting into the realm of Brandon Ayuk being available. And like I said, I don't think he's going to be anywhere near what
wide
he was.
Wide receiver number one.
But he'll be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you add those guys to Juwan, to Kendrick Bourne, George Kittle staying in there. And now you can say, all right, we've added to this roster. Like, it just seems like for the entire season, things have just been taken away, taken away, taken away, taken away. You're 6-3, and now you're finally getting the point where you can add to this roster and see if you can make a run. You mentioned Robert Salo's done a fantastic job. Kyle Shanahan, they've both done a fantastic job. These guys have just been coaching at a high, high level to make sure that regardless of what's going on, these guys, the guys who are available, are ready to play. They're ready to go. The scheme is there, and they're given the best opportunity to win games. So, yeah, let's see what happens. You got a Rams team coming up on Sunday, coming into Levi's. It's going to be ready. They're going to be ready. They're going to be looking for their get back. But I think the Niners will have some form too. I think the Niners will be ready to play too. You were asked a question on Sports Sunday by our guy Brandon Benitez about Christian McCaffrey. And should Christian McCaffrey enter the conversation for MVP?
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey set the NFL record yesterday with his 16th game with a rushing touchdown and a catching touchdown.
Mm. I mean, this guy's been where was it at? Because I've thrown it around quite a few times, but it really is real. And now we're getting into, like, we're in week 10, and it's still real.
Yeah.
Matt Maiocco talked about it last night. He said Christian McCaffrey has 569 yards rushing, 626 yards receiving through nine games. He's on pace for 1,125 rushing yards and 1,182 rushing yards. He talks about, like we've talked about, Roger Craig, Marshall Faulk, and McCaffrey, the only members of the 1,000-1,000 club. Mm. Nobody has done it twice.
Okay.
I mean, if they – Niners 6-3 right now, 11-5 in these 1,000-1,000, he won't win it.
Can I throw a retort your way?
Mm-hmm.
Because my answer was, if the 49ers keep winning at this clip, like, yeah, he'll enter the conversation. It's hard for running backs to be in the conversation, but when you realize this isn't Lamar Jackson's award this year, it doesn't appear to be Josh Allen's award this year, it doesn't appear to be Patrick Mahomes' award this year. Like, you are legitimately having conversations about the likes of Daniel Jones. They lost yesterday. Him being in the conversation...
I don't think you're having conversations about Daniel Jones. I think that's kind of where it comes in for CMC. You're having conversations about Jonathan Taylor at this point.
And Jonathan Taylor, that's fine. Sam Darnold, another one. But in the case of Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, that's normally a cursory mention. It's like, no, it's
not
nice.
Real.
Like, yeah, maybe the counterpoint is, this is the year, because it's not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson putting up these ungodly numbers, maybe this is the year that Jonathan Taylor setting the touchdown record becomes big enough to win the, you know, and we'll go Colts 49ers, you know, losing four or five games or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you brought up their record. What if that's like the record? Mm-hmm. Would you say 12-5? What,
yeah,
if
12-5, 11-6?
What if what if there's the best record in the league is that, and there's four or five teams with that record. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because just like there's no runaway MVP candidate, there's no dominant football team either.
Right.
There's teams that are interesting. There are teams that are head scratching. The one in Green Bay, there's ones that I think are ascending, like Carolina, but there's also fine football teams. Like, Buffalo beat Kansas City yesterday. I wasn't particularly moved either way by what I saw, but Buffalo won that battle, so like, they get the nod for that. I could see Buffalo losing a couple of more times this year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is the year that a running back like Christian McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor can bust through the door and those guys be the front runners in this conversation. Darnold's a great story. I think Seattle, like, that's a one-seed situation. Like, if Seattle winds up finishing with two or three losses and then the one seed in the conference, like, then you might really be talking about Sam Darnold as the most valuable player. But if you lump him in with a 12-5 record, Seahawks with a 12-5 record, you have him at 20-plus, near 30 touchdowns, close to single-digit interceptions. That's where Baker's at. That's where Daniel Jones is at. That's where all of those guys are at. it's a muddy field.
Yeah. And the thousand dialogue, it doesn't hit the same or resonate the same way, I don't believe, as a 2,000-yard rushing season. Like, people aren't really – people aren't like, oh, 1,000, man, that's a good year. That's – they don't really understand. And even myself, like, it doesn't hit the same way. You know, 2,000 yards rushing is crazy. Dominant season. Yeah. It's just like, oh,
well,
1,000. And then you actually think about it, it's like, damn, that is kind of crazy, 1,000. But it doesn't – the initial dialogue behind it doesn't hit the same as, like, 2,000 yards rushing.
I'm not trying to take away from it at all or anything like that, but I think just kind of what plays into it, like, 1,000's great, but also, like, he is just not being force-fed, but there's been really no one on this Niners offense consistently other than him.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up. I'm pretty positive he's probably not even averaging more than 4 yards a carry on the season.
So I think it's 3.8.
Yeah, so it's like, for me, it's kind of tough, and then having the year that Jonathan Taylor has, knowing how this award is, like, if you're going to put a running back in there, I think it's got to be Taylor. I think Christian McCaffrey's having a great year, but just realistically, I don't think he hits that conversation. Because looking at all the odds, too, like Josh Allen's up there, Patrick Mahomes, Drake May.
Drake May's another one.
They're just throwing. And it's nobody's fault. It's just the way, the nature of the beast. They're just throwing people's names in there.
Yeah, because like, they don't know what else to do.
Josh Allen has not had an MVP season by any means. It doesn't mean he's been bad or anything, but MVP, like, I'd give it to Daniel Jones and Jared Goff before I give it to Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes has not had an MVP season.
No, not at
this
all.
This year. And they just, once again, give it to Sam Darnold before you give it to one of, if you're really thinking about, like, who's been the best players this year and had the best season, Josh Allen, you probably, has he had a better season than Bo Nix? Statistically and everything else like that?
I don't know. I think Josh Allen's been the better quarterback. Honestly, if we're just going off of not just giving it to Josh Allen and Mahomes, I'd probably go Drake May at this point.
Yeah.
But his numbers are the same as everybody else's, though. That's like, what I mean.
Well, yeah, but he's leading that. Like, there's a 7-2 right now. He's kind of been the focal point of why that team's been great. I mean, Stephon Diggs is there, but
yeah, that's why Mike Vrabel gets the award.
Well, yeah,
Mike Vrabel gets
another
the
way. Another
yes,
way Kyle
exactly. This that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's tough to get a running back in there, so I think it'd be. I don't think you can get two in there, and I think if they're gonna put one in the top five, it'd be Jonathan Taylor at this point, leading the league in rushing yards and touchdowns.
I really hate the lazy nature of MVP voting.
It really is.
Like, it is. Mm-hmm. It is disgusting. To be honest.
Well, it's also not universal.
What you mean?
There's like some people will vote for the story. Some people like in a crowded field. Mm. Well, man, no one expected Drake May and the Patriots to do this, so I'm going to vote for him. Well, like, wait a minute. Baker Mayfield threw for five more touchdowns and one less interception.
Right.
Or Sam Darnold threw for 10 more touchdowns and one more interception, and his team was better.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but see, Seattle was good last year. Sam Darnold was good last year. And you know, they won't say this part, you know, we saw Sam Darnold in the playoffs. Like, that's that, like, it fluctuates, like, it's different. Like, there is no universal criteria for an MVP. It's whatever tugged at that reporter's heartstrings that year.
Yeah.
We don't even look at defensive players' way either.
No.
Don't even look over there.
Which makes Deion's 94 season even more crazy. Is he won the MVP that year or defensive player of the year? Might have just been defensive player of the year.
Who?
Deion.
I don't think Deion won an MVP. I don't think he won a defense. Oh, he did win a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
That was the 49ers?
Yeah,
he didn't win MVP.
Though. Yeah, no, he was 94 defensive player of the year, but no MVP. 8-time Pro Bowl, 6-time All-Pro, All-Decades team. Yeah,
The last? Was it? I feel like. Do you know who the last player to win an MVP defensive
Lawrence
player?
Taylor feels like
it was
the right
answer. That's it. Right. We don't know. Yeah. We feel like that's the right answer. I remember they wanted JJ to get it.
That's who I thought might have got it.
Well, he didn't. Like, but remember, JJ was catching touchdown passes.
That's the
passes
only reason why
year.
He even got in that conversation too.
JJ, I think he might have thrown one. But he definitely caught one. I think he ran for one. And I remember that whatever one he didn't do, they were like, well, have him do it.
Well, that's the funny
thing. Have him
too.
Throw the pass.
J.J. Like, Watt having one of the greatest defensive seasons of all time. Whatever. He caught a touchdown play.
That's right.
He might win MVP.
We'll shift our attention back to Kings basketball. We'll talk with James Hamm here ahead of the Kings and the Nuggets.
And don't worry, Green Bay. We talking about your asses tomorrow.
Oh, believe that. Yeah, believe that.
Jordan Love, what the hell, man?
Oh, my gosh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, James Hamm going to join us here coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. As Casey mentioned, we've got a lot more to talk about in terms of the NFL. Let's just realize we'll try to fit that in tomorrow.
Well,
let the Kings beat Denver. Oh, let the Kings beat Denver.
Young Zell, two verses.
I give you my word, if the Kings win tonight, we'll play two verses.
Two verses.
We could play the damn song twice if they win tomorrow, or if they win tonight, excuse me. That Bengals Bears game was spectacular. Slightly embarrassing, but absolutely. I can't believe I walked away from that game feeling bad for Joe Flacco.
Oh, like, man, Joe Flacco, he out here getting it done, man.
Joe Flacco out here collecting Social Security, and the man leads his team to a game, what should have been a game-winning drive. And a game-winning score, and no. The Bengals literally give it right back.
Damn.
That was so much fun to watch unfold.
The crazy thing is, I was like, oh, man, they're gonna give it up for, like, a field goal. It just gave up a touchdown.
Yeah, a full-on touchdown.
That was awful. Absolutely awful.
Yes.
If you're a Cincinnati.
It was awful.
Bengals fan.
But also hysterical.
No, just chuckling away. Just like, and I thought about Zach Taylor. Yeah. Thought about Zach Taylor. Y'all say he should be coach of the year.
Nobody said that. What are you talking about?
What's going to reheat my lunch? And what just happened?
What are you doing? He over here rewriting history. Zach Taylor must have invited him to his Friendsgiving. Now
yeah,
he got here.
That's what happened.
Man.
I ain't saying he should be fired, but yeah, that can't happen.
No, that'll be an interesting, like, they're so bad. Like, that is, oh, Jaden. That is a, yeah, Jaden's done for the year, right?
Gotta be.
Like, that's so bad. Like, my man. Oh,
the arm air cast is bad.
Yeah. We obviously got the replay on because we can't watch ESPN. So we have the replay on NFL Network. They should just air Good Morning Football all damn day. Yeah. Make more sense than re-airing this. Yeah, like, that is just a stunning level of badness on the defensive end. And I don't know how anyone survives. Oh, well, the quarterback got hurt again. Like, there was no reason for you to lose that game yesterday.
Well, you don't survive that because the 40-year-old just threw for 400 yards.
Not Joe Flacco.
Over-exaggerating, but.
Flacco is amazing.
They've been putting points up.
Joe Flacco, that was a career high. Joe Flacco's 41 years old and has won a Super Bowl. And he threw for a career high.
Joe Flacco's the real guy. I can throw a football over the mountain.
Uncle Rico. You know what? You know what? Put Joe Flacco in the Hall of Fame. At this point, just because of what he's done with Cincinnati and has had to deal with, just put Joe in the Hall of Fame for his troubles.
And he's like,
he had to quarterback the Bengals and the Browns in the same season.
Poor guy. Hell, he need to go to the Steelers next year. Have the whole AFC North.
Well, Steelers got a win yesterday. They beat the Colts.
Bro, I saw some last night. I think I was watching NFL primetime, and well.
Yeah. How nice. It must have been. I wouldn't know. Me neither. I can't watch NFL primetime.
I was excited for Monday Night Football until I wasn't.
It was on the app, so I didn't watch it on my TV. But yeah, I was watching NFL primetime, and yeah, Chris Berman's still hanging around. But they had a stat from that game. They were like, Aaron Rodgers throws a fifth straight game with 200-plus yards passing. That's the bar now, bro.
What?
That's the bar. We talking about 200-plus yards passing. What are we doing? What are we doing? That was ridiculous. That stat, that little crawl was ridiculous.
Congratulations. LeBron James hit a free throw. It's his 1700s game scoring a point.
If those are the stats you're reading for me at this point, don't even read my stats.
I think, yeah, I could be wrong. I'll look it up. I think he had 201.
He might barely crossed over the finish line.
Let me see. I don't want to misrepresent what he did, but it wasn't like a strong 200.
You talking about Rodgers? It was 203.
Hell no!
Complete.
It was 5 yard
pass to Pat Freiermuth. Oh, he's got the record.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's got the record.
203. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones threw for 342, but lost for one reason.
Turnovers.
They had six turnovers in that game. Six. I don't think Daniel Jones had thrown three interceptions on the season.
Man.
And he threw three yesterday. They lost the turnover battle 6-1, but lost the game by 7. Man, they should have beat Pittsburgh's ass.
Pittsburgh is not. They're not good. They're like,
Let's take a look.
They will play whoever in the first round and get steamrolled.
Cleveland 2-6, Cincinnati 3-6, Baltimore 3-5, Pittsburgh 5-3.
Right now, so they're in first place, correct?
Yeah.
Let me see. My guess is they're probably, I'm gonna look it up, but I think they're probably like the 4 seed.
Correct, because they're a division winner. They're the worst division winner.
Bro, Bills are going to mollywop them if they played them in the first round.
Well, do we expect the Steelers to finish as first?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
Ravens, I think, are a game and a half back, so they'll make that up with the bye or whatever, but you got 2 games against the Steelers this season still. Gotta win your other ones, though.
They got 2 games against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I believe they got 2 games against Pittsburgh still.
Ravens got the Vikings coming up this week. Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Packers, Steelers.
Mm.
So not only 2 against Pittsburgh, 2 against Cincinnati as well.
Mm.
What's Pittsburgh?
One more left with Cincinnati, huh? Oh, you're talking about the Ravens, my bad.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Steelers.
Yeah, the Ravens, sorry.
Gotcha.
Here's the Steelers. They've got the Chargers coming up, the Bengals, Bears, Bills, Ravens, Dolphins, Lions.
They might free fall.
Browns, Ravens. This looks...
Steelers might free fall.
Yeah, the Steelers road is way more difficult. Mm. Way, way more difficult.
I'm almost positive that Steelers-Dolphins game is a Monday night one, so just flex that one out.
Damn.
You are correct. Join us at Sky River Casino for the Dolphins and Steelers coming up December 15th.
Where we bring you the best games.
It's only the best with D'Lo and KC at 32 Brew Street. We pick these bad football games so you'll just focus on the food and the beer. The food and the beer is that good, as are all of the cocktails over there at 32 Brew Street,
indeed.
Where we'll be 2 weeks from today when the Raiders take on the Cowboys.
Oh.
Could have waited 2 days later for the Kings and Thunder, but it's fine. It's all good.
They actually, I guess it was opening night, but I'll find out more as time goes on. They had a nice little crowd at 32 Brew Street for King's Sons the night I was there.
Okay.
I wasn't sure anybody was like.
Was that your show?
Yeah, my show was okay. My show was going on during the game. People was there watching the show, but also
they hated you.
I was watching the game.
Yeah, shut this guy up.
They was watching the game. I just didn't know people with this particular Kings team went out to go watch them. But yeah, Kings fans were still outside.
That's good.
Yeah,
Sky River stays jumping.
It does.
Pats and Broncos get wins. As we mentioned, I think both those teams go to 7-2. At some point, I'm going to have to start taking the Broncos more seriously.
I mean,
at some point. I'm not saying today. It's Raiders Broncos Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love all those teams, but it feels like it's 8-2. This is just the Bills are going to come out the AFC, I think.
What?
It's just, would you trust the Patriots to make it out the AFC? I think that's a matchup the Bills get. The Broncos feel like they're a year early. I mean, their defense is great, but maybe they figure it out. But it's just, all things considered, I think the Bills make it out the AFC.
I don't think the Bills are that good.
Like, I don't trust the Colts. I don't trust the Steelers. The Colts, as far as just making it to the Super Bowl. Like, they've been great all year, but I need to see it.
I think they're a solid team. I think this is
and if
so
not,
far.
If not them, then, like, who, though?
I would pick Denver to beat the Bills. If they played in the playoffs, I'd pick Denver. I'm not sure if I wouldn't pick the Patriots too. I'm not a big fan of this Bills team. I don't think they're that good this year.
I don't either. But I don't know who's better.
They've been around. They've been in the moments. They just know how to win these games, unless it's against the Chiefs or whatever. You run into those moments against the Patriots or Broncos. I mean, the Bills are just better equipped, I think, to handle it.
I was just about to say, I know what happened yesterday, but if they played them again in the playoffs, I think the Chiefs would beat them.
I'd probably go with Kansas City, too.
I'd go Buffalo if it was in Buffalo, Kansas City, and Kansas City, I guess. And right now, Chiefs aren't even in a playoff spot.
This is the truth.
Can I apologize?
Sure.
Depends.
Great.
What you're apologizing for?
I probably, at some point, should have mentioned the Raiders game.
What about it?
What you're talking about?
Well, you can listen to the Raiders here. ESPN 1320.
You can.
Great game.
I
thought you were talking Raiders Jags.
No, I it just meant like no. We've talked about the Bengals and Bears. Just talked about the Patriots and Drake May.
Well,
kind of forgot to mention that the Raiders lost going for a 2-point conversion in overtime.
I understand why you say
because
that.
Geno's pass got blocked.
Come on, man.
By Mason Plumlee.
Hey, it didn't even get tipped, bro.
No, it got blocked. Come it on, got man. Swatted.
That's just terrible.
Bro, hit him with the no. Come
That's
on, Geno.
Terrible.
Like the game can't end like that. It can't end like that. That's tough.
And the guy was wide open, too. Yeah.
I admire, like, that was the right call. Go for the win.
Yes.
Like, your season is not, just go get the dub.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I just, if the pass had been incomplete, like, all right, like, you missed it or whatever, like, fine. To get swatted into the first row. Is a really that's a really tough look. Like Geno damn near hit his helmet.
Oh man.
You know.
Damn, hey, it's bad for the Raiders, but it is.
But y'all got Brock Bowers. And he is, oh my God.
He's the truth.
That dude is for real.
You know what that? You know what I took away from that game?
So hold on to that, guys.
You know what I took away from that game, though, is Jags ain't it.
No,
they stink.
They're not.
Trevor Lawrence stinks, first and foremost.
Mm.
He
had an interception in the red zone early on. They were at the goal line damn near. It's like, who are you throwing the ball to? There's two Raiders defenders there. They damn near ran into each other trying to intercept it.
Bro threw it into double coverage 3 yards away. How does that happen? Are you 3 yards away from the pass and throwing the double coverage?
Yeah, I feel like he's had three different coaches. At this point, it's him.
It is. Who had – well, I know I said we were going to talk about him tomorrow, but we're waiting for James to get here. Who had a worse pass, Trevor Lawrence or Jordan Love?
Brother Jordan Love looked
Jordan
like
Love had two horrendous.
Yeah, he had two.
He on the one where he threw it across his body or whatever, or across the side of the field to the end zone. It's like, oh, he has someone. There's someone there with throws. Like, there's someone there. Wait, no, there's no. There's two Panthers there.
Jordan Love's pass was so bad. Passes were so bad. He'd make those old Mike Golick NFL blooper videos.
That was like Dylan Gabriel pointing down the field and throwing it 25 yards. Like, no, that's not what I thought you were going to do at all right now.
No, that's the killer though, too, because he did like load up and like turn his hips like, oh, he sees something.
Yeah. I thought they were going to win the game. Oh, no, that's a massive interception right there. Not even close.
Did you hear the call for Patrick Mahomes' final pass?
No.
So you know, Patrick Mahomes, they're coming for him. So he's backpedaling, and you know he throws it, and it was Nance and Romo, right? Yeah. Nance is like, all right, Mahomes, he got the ball to the 5 yard line. It was like, well, that's not gonna help. He's well short of his goal. Like, that is not. But he was like marveling at the fact the ball got to the 5 yard line as he was backpedaling.
Did we mention Flacco's Hail Mary attempt earlier?
I think that got tipped. I think he got tipped.
I hope it did, because he was at the 45. I was like, oh, here comes Joe Flacco. Oh. It didn't even get to the 20.
Oh, no. I think it was well acknowledged. I don't think Joe has the arm for this.
Well, okay, yeah.
I don't think he does. We have to look.
I need someone to pull the video. I don't think he did.
That was tough.
No, I thought
they were at their own 30. They were at like the 45.
I thought it was funny that the announcers were like, yeah, I don't think he's going to have the arm.
Yeah, his arm almost went with that football.
I think he got tipped, man. Joe getting respect from me, man.
Joe Flacco absolutely getting respect from me for quarterbacking that awful team. James, the old guys was out there playing yesterday.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, a good week of football.
Joe Flacco throwing for 470 yards. Meanwhile, they're touting Aaron Rodgers 203. Break, man. Goodness gracious.
And once again, we got a new contender for game of the year.
Oh, what, Bengals and Bears? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was surprised to see, you know, again, Aaron Rodgers is what he is, but like that Steelers jackass team just keeps winning. It's just crazy.
No, I think the Colts
just beat the Colts.
They turned the ball over six times. I normally don't buy the Colts beat themselves, but they lost the turnover battle 6-1. They nearly lost the turnover battle by as many points as they lost the game.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's about to come to an end, too.
I think so, too. Their schedule.
Daniel Jones is about to become a pumpkin.
No,
I think the Steelers are about to come to an end.
Steelers.
I don't know.
They about to.
We'll see.
They ain't going to make the playoffs. I'm saying that right now.
The same year Mike Evans' streak ends, so does Mike Tomlin's. Sorry, Mike.
Damn.
The Evans and Tomlin. Sorry to both of them. I like both those guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.